Well, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there listening today. I'm going to take a panoramic walk through that Passover weekend, through that last weekend in the life of Jesus, our precious Lord and Savior. And we're going to take a look at the sacrifice of our Passover lamb, the sacrifice of our precious Lord and Savior as he went to the cross. And then we're going to talk about the resurrection, and we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus, why it was necessary to shed the blood of Jesus, why his blood was the perfect gift for our redemption. And then we're going to talk about how we can walk in newness of life by naming and claiming and knowing Jesus Christ and confessing his name, how we can walk in newness of life this very day, what it means to us today to walk in newness of life and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Well, in Exodus 12, verse 1, we talk about the Passover lamb as it relates to the children of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt, great throng coming out of Egypt, and the Lord Jehovah God was preparing them to come out, and there was about 1 million to 2 million of them, and he had prepared the heart of Pharaoh and hardened Pharaoh's heart, and all of these plagues struck Egypt and all of these curses struck Egypt. And the Lord then said, get ready, to the children of Israel, and he prepared them then to make the exodus out of Egypt and go into the promised land. But first they had to go into the wilderness area. They didn't know that at the time, but first the Lord took them through the wilderness area to purify them and to take out that old unbelieving generation. And so in Exodus 12:1, we set the scene here as the children of Israel are in the land of Egypt. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, that is perfect or sound, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. And now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts. This is verse 7. They shall put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Well, Jesus Christ was our perfect lamb. He was the sacrifice that is sufficient for all of our sins. He was the sacrifice that was sufficient for every person, for all time, not only for that day, for that present age in that day, but even for today, for the years to come, for hundreds of years. If he tarries and doesn't come back for hundreds of years, Jesus' sacrifice will be sufficient for every man, woman, and child's sins for all time, both forward and backward. Jesus' blood also was sufficient to redeem the Old Testament prophets. If you go to Ephesians 4 and chapter 4, verse 8, through 11, Paul talks about the blood of Jesus was sufficient, and Jesus went into the pit of hell, into Sheol, and his blood then redeemed or released all of those Old Testament saints that had believed in God and had confessed the name of Jehovah God. He went down there, Jesus did, and he preached to the captives, that is, in prison, those fallen angels. He preached to them, and he also preached to the captives, that is, the fallen saints, those that had died, the saints of old, and he took the keys from hell away from the devil, and he released those saints, and he took them to heaven with him. When he sat down at the right hand of God, he also took the saints, and he led the captivity captive, it tells us, and he led those captives out of hell and out of the gates of hell and up into heaven. And so his blood is sufficient, not only for us today, it was sufficient for all those of all time going back in time, and it was sufficient for all those going forward in time, us 2,000 years henceforth now, and he was the perfect sacrifice. God looked all over the earth to find somebody who was sufficient to make that sacrifice, somebody who can shed his blood and be sufficient, and God said he saw no one on the earth who was sufficient for that, and so he sent his very own son, and this precious son of his own right hand, then became the sacrifice for all mankind. Well, the gods of Egypt, God says, I will execute judgment on them, and so that death angel passed through Egypt that night, Passover, and those that had the blood of Jesus over the lintels and the doorposts of their homes, over the front door, the blood of Jesus, or the blood of the precious lamb, was spread over those doorposts and over those lintel, and so when the death angel saw that blood, he passed over that house, and so the children of Israel were spared the night that God executed judgment on the gods of Egypt. And so for yourself, this is an example, the Passover of the Old Testament, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. This is an example for us. When you put the blood of Jesus on your heart, beloved, when you take the blood of Jesus and you apply it over the doorposts and over the lintel of your very own heart, then the God of all creation, the God who created you to serve him and to know him, that same God then will execute judgment on the gods of Egypt in your life. And I use that term, the gods of Egypt, in a symbolic way. We all fight demon gods. We all have harassment. We have torment. Some people are even demon-possessed. But I tell you today that the blood of Jesus over the doorposts and over the lintel of your heart will protect you from the gods of Egypt. It will protect you from any wiles of the evil one, any darts and fiery darts that the devil throws up against you. The blood of Jesus will protect you. The blood of Jesus will save you. The blood of Jesus will heal you. The blood of Jesus will deliver you. And so just as God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, who were spared because they had the blood of the precious lamb, the unblemished lamb, on their doors, so too in your life, if you have the blood of the precious lamb over the doors of your heart and over the lintel of your heart, you will be spared, you will be delivered, and you are set free. Well, in verse 13 in Exodus 12, it says that the blood is a sign. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And verse 14, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. And so God gave the children of Israel the instruction to celebrate this feast, and they are celebrating the Feast of Passover this very day. We call it Easter, and people get in a argument about, well, what should we call the day? Let's call it Passover. Let's call it Resurrection Sunday. We can call it Easter if you want, but truthfully, God is sovereign over every day, is he not? He's sovereign over every single day. And so maybe the pagan festivals take some of these days for themselves. I say we take it back. I say we take it back in the name of Jesus, and let's call it Passover. Let's call it Resurrection Sunday. If you call it Easter, that's great. That's fine. It doesn't matter. The important thing is that you know what the purposes of this day are, why Jesus went to the cross and shed his precious blood, why Jesus died for you, why he was the unblemished lamb who took on the sin of the whole world, and why God sent him to die for us. If you were the only person here on this earth, Jesus would have died for you. He would have died for me because he loves us with an unconditional love. He loves us beyond anything that we can imagine. And so he was willing to shed his precious blood for us, that we might know him for all eternity. Well, God goes on to say in verse 27 there in Exodus 12, Then you shall say, when your children ask, "It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, and when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our household." So the people bowed their heads and they worshiped. And so when your children ask, beloved, if you're listening to me out there today, and your children or your grandchildren ask, and they say, "Papa or Grandma, what is this day all about?" Don't talk about chocolate bunnies. Don't talk about Easter eggs. Don't talk about nice hats or nice dresses or all of that stuff, pretty flowers. All of that stuff is great. It's all wonderful. But beloved, this day is because of the resurrection, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this day is because he shed his precious blood, he struck the Egyptians, and he delivered the children of Israel out of their bondage. And he can do the very same thing for you today. He can deliver you out of your bondage. He can destroy the gods of Egypt in your life. The blood of Jesus speaks to us better than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks to us just as powerfully today as it did way back 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago when the Passover lamb was slain. The blood of Jesus speaks to us today just as powerfully, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jehovah God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you receive that sacrifice, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He took on the sins of the whole world and he said, "It is finished." And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have received that blood sacrifice. That blood sacrifice then is sufficient for all of your sins, for all of the ways that you stumble, for the gods of Egypt that have come against you. It is sufficient to take care of them and destroy them in your life. And so we have this beautiful plan. We have this glorious plan that God has laid out before us. And all you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is ask. Everything in the Christian faith is obtained by asking, and that includes salvation, that includes healing, that includes deliverance, that includes asking the Lord, "Lord, show me your way, show me where you want me to go, show me my destiny, show me my calling." All of these things, everything in the Christian faith is obtained first of all by asking, and secondly by believing that God has you in the palm of his hand, that God has your destiny in the palm of his hand, that God has your best intentions in the palm of his hand, that everything that you want in life, delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God wants you to have the desires of your heart, but first you must believe that he is able to give it. First you must believe that he is able to provide for you everything that you need, and then you have to ask him for it. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. For he who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door shall be opened to him. For what father, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, gives him a stone? Well, no father who really truly loves his son would do that. And what father, if his son asks him for a fish, would give him a scorpion? Well, no father who loves his son would actually do that. And the scripture goes on to say there then that if our earthly fathers, being wicked, if they know how to give us good things and they know how to love us, how much more does our Heavenly Father, who cares about us, our Heavenly Father who loves us with an unconditional love, that he sent his son Jesus to die for us, how much more will that Heavenly Father and his precious son Jesus Christ give good gifts to us that we may have the desires of our heart? Well, secondly, we need to focus in then on the crucifixion itself, where Jesus Christ went to the cross and where he suffered and died for us. Actually, seven different ways he suffered and died for us. He suffered when they hit him in the face and beat his face up. He suffered, first of all, in the garden when he was praying about the mission that God had given him. He was praying about the sin, had taken on the sin of the whole world, and he was shedding drops of blood in the garden, and then when he was in his trial, they mocked him, they beat him in the face, they pulled the hair out of his face, then they scourged him, and 39 stripes, the precious blood of Jesus was all over that slab, all over that whipping post, and then they took Jesus and they put a crown of thorns upon his head, they mashed that crown of thorns down upon his head, and the blood dripped out of his forehead and all down his face and down his neck. And then they took him to the cross, that most hideous and torturous way to die, that was the epitome of suffering when he took on the whole world. But the cross was very humiliating. It was very painful death. And they nailed his hands to the cross. They nailed his feet to the cross. And so he bled out that way as well. And then the last way that he bled out, when they stuck a sword up into his side and they pierced his heart cavity, and he bled out through that cavity as well. And so seven different ways Jesus shed his precious blood for us. His blood speaks better to us than the blood of Abel. His blood, the precious lamb, was dripped out on the ground there in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, on the skull, the Golgotha. And so his precious blood then was given as a sacrifice for us, for the sins of all mankind. In Matthew 27, verse 24, it says, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail, this was in the trial, but that a tumult was rising, he took water and he washed his hands, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And so Pilate released Jesus then to the crowd, to the mob. Pilate released him to be crucified because they were crying out for Jesus' blood. They were crying out for him to be crucified. And then in verse 25, it says, all the people answered and said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Well, little did they know how true that statement was. The blood of Jesus was upon them. The blood of Jesus was upon their hands because they had cried out for him to be crucified, but they also did not know that Jesus Christ was the key to their salvation, that through his blood, these very same people who cried out for Jesus' blood to be upon them, that his blood also could save them, that his blood also could sanctify them, that his blood also could set them free, just like it does for you and me. Matthew 27, verse 35, it says, then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And so this was prophesied back in the Psalms that Jesus would be hanging on the cross, and they would divide up his garments, they would cast lots for his clothing. And so all of this was prophesied hundreds of years before it came to pass. So none of this took God by surprise. This was all part of God's master plan to bring redemption to all mankind. We have all been separated from God by our sin. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and all have sinned, and yet God brings us back into right standing with him. God brings us back to righteousness with him through that precious blood of Jesus, through that sacrifice that Jesus made, so that we can stand before God with a clean conscience and have our sins washed away by the blood of our precious Savior. Well, Jesus took on the sin of the world, Matthew 27, 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And for that brief moment, Jesus took on the sins of the whole world. For that period of time, Jesus took on the burden for all mankind. There was no way that we could come into the presence of God and have righteousness and have our sins forgiven. But when Jesus shed his precious blood, then he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Because God turned his eyes from Jesus for just a brief moment there when Jesus took on the sin of the whole world. In verse 50 in Matthew 27, and Jesus cried out again and yielded up his spirit. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Well, beloved, the veil ripped from top to bottom as a sign to the people in Jerusalem and all over the world the sign that no longer was any other sacrifice necessary. No longer would it be necessary for anyone to sacrifice a animal, a lamb, a goat, a sheep, oxen, or anything else, that the blood of Jesus was sufficient for all mankind, for all eternity, and his blood was shed once and taken into the Holy of Holies of heaven by Jesus himself. His blood was shed once, and that is sufficient. Jesus doesn't have to go back to the cross again. I beg you to receive the sacrifice and live for Jesus today. I beg you to receive the sacrifice and to be thankful for God's great plan of salvation, and that his son was willing to go to the cross for your sins and on your behalf. Well, the resurrection then comes next. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Jesus was prophesying his own death here, and he was speaking to Martha, and he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection, and if you believe in me, you will never die." And Martha said to him, verse 27, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Well, there it is, friends. There it is, the salvation message, all wrapped up in the confession of Martha, that salvation message. Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am the Son of God? Do you believe that I have shed my blood for you? Do you believe that if you believe me, that you will never die?" And Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world." And as Jesus then rose from the dead, he proved that death had no sting over him. He proved that death had no hold over him, and also that we too then are set free from death. That if you close your eyes this day, there's some of you out there, you fear death, you're listening to me today, and you are actually afraid to die. You're not sure if you're saved. You're not sure what's going to happen with you after this day. If you were to pass this day, I beg you today, get down on your knees and cry out to Jesus. Ask him to reveal himself to you, and you repent of your sins. You say, "Jesus, I am a sinner. I know that I have separated myself from you with my sin, with my choice of sin. And I ask you, Lord, to come in to my heart today. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life today and cover my sin with your precious blood and wash me, cleanse me, make me whiter than snow." And if you will do that today, our precious Lord will be faithful and true to reveal himself to you. He will be faithful and true to show you who he is, and he will be faithful and true then to give you that peace that passes all understanding, that you know that you know that you know that you're saved, and if you were to pass from this earth today, that you will never die, that you will simply sleep, and that your eyes, when they close here on this earth, that you will be awakened in heaven in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the angels, in the presence of Jehovah God, and all of the beloved saints that have gone on before us, all of your ancestors, maybe even your children, who have gone on before you to be with the Lord. You will be with them for all eternity. Well, for the doubters out there, I'm sure there's some doubters, and Thomas was a doubter. In John 20, verse 27, Jesus spoke to Thomas. This is after the resurrection. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands." He was asking Thomas to put his fingers in the holes, in the scars, in the nail hole in his hands. He said, "Put your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side," into the side where they had lunged that spear into Jesus' side. He asked Thomas, "Put your hand up into my side, and do not be unbelieving," he said to Thomas, "but be believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." And so Thomas could believe because he had seen, and because he was able to put his finger and his hand into the side and into the hands of Jesus. But I say to you today, beloved, Jesus is alive. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you believe, even though you haven't seen, Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Well, beloved, that is what God is calling you to do today. He is asking you to believe. He is asking you to say, "Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you shed your precious blood for me." If you will say that today, if you will believe that today, Jesus then will come in with the Holy Spirit into your heart. He will reside in you with the person of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and you will know without a doubt that you are saved. You will know without a doubt that you are a child of God, that you are a blood-bought child of the living God, and you will have that peace that passes all understanding. Follow it up with Christian baptism. Live the life that God has for you. Keep his commandments. Beloved, I hope this message today finds a home in your heart. And those of you that need to take action, those of you who need to take steps to assure your eternal salvation, that you would do that today. If you have any questions, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I'd be happy to visit with you and talk to you about your eternal salvation. Well, Gather the Outcast is having a ministry banquet the 29th of this month, April 29th, at the Bullseye Event Center, downtown Norton. I would love to see many of you there, and if you would call the Bullseye Event Center and make a reservation, the tickets are free, but you need to make a reservation, and we would love to see that place filled up with those who want to come and support the ministry, those who want to come and be encouraged by the work that we're doing here in the Gather the Outcast ministry, not only the radio broadcast, but our mission in Africa to build the orphanage over there and to preach the gospel in the Crusades and Revivals. And so come out that night, the 29th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Bullseye Event Center, and make your reservation, and we'll be seeing you there for that great banquet. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.